You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Atlas wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hello, good buddy. I'm doing fine, and my well wishes go back out there.
I'm doing great. Phone's ringing like hell.
You know, I got to tell you a story. You know, I guess it was Saturday or Sunday, and I don't remember. Whatever the 21st or 22nd is, because I don't even know what today's date is. But
you too?
I know. I'm at that point, you know, and it doesn't change. It just gets worse. But I guess it's fall, the fall of the year. And I'm noticing that, you know, I'm getting calls. I got a call today from North Dakota.
Uh-huh.
And I had to think because I got a couple of calls from that area. One was from North Dakota. Excuse me. The other one was from, I think, can't remember too good, but it was the upper part of Montana. Clydesdale. And been there also. And I asked them what the weather was, and was there changes going on? And they said, hell yes. One of them in Montana said it was, it got down to like 28 degrees last night. And the one, the one in North Dakota said that it got down to about freezing, so it had to have been 32 or better, lower. But it's changing, folks. And there's a lot of sightings going around the country. Ohio, you're hearing about that woman had the Bigfoot in her backyard. Is that your phone, Bill?
Yeah, that's the hotline.
Yeah, I know. It's coming in on me right now. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
I can't hang it up. I'm trying to get there.
Yeah.
That turned it off.
Well, I hope so, but it's coming in on
me.
No,
what it is, what it is, I got the handphone I turned the ringer off on, but the handset that it plugs into wasn't, uh-huh. So I just turned the whole dang thing off so it can't ring during the show. What happened is a guy called me from North. Oh, good God.
Now it's forwarding on to me.
Jeez.
Please excuse us.
Well, what this guy is, this guy is calling right now. He's a private caller. He's from North Carolina.
That's the same guy that called last night.
Yeah, and what he's doing is he's giving a hard luck story, like he's got this thing scratching on the side of his house, and then he said, okay, give me your number, I'll call you in for the show. And he says, okay, 619-843-FU.
Yeah. This is the same guy that called yesterday around this time also. Just let him go if there's a way that we could block
him. Well, I'm trying to turn this whole thing off.
If you're listening to the show, the people in North Carolina, you know, grow up, get a grip on life. it is a recording. We'll find out who you are and where you are, and we're going to turn you in. So I suggest that you just stop it now, okay? Let's go on with the show, okay, Billy? So,
sure, I'm ready.
Like I was saying, it's the chill is in the air. It's coming. It started. And remember what happens, folks. This is migration period. Between now and right about the 20th of December, you know what happens. There's going to be a bash of sightings throughout this country. People are going to be calling the hotline a hell of a lot more than they're doing now, and I'll tell you what, it's been crazy. And I wish to God sometimes that we don't do it, but you know what? Like some of the sincere people who do call say, we're the only ones that have live people that we can talk to. These other supposed hotlines across the country, you leave a message, and maybe a week later, 10 days later, you get a call from these people, and they tell them that they're full of crap. So we have something special that we've built here, and it's you people around the globe who we care about. And you are the people that we share our thoughts with and our experiences, as well as you share with us. And that means an awful lot to Bill and myself. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for putting up with the technical difficulties that we go through. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? That's why they call this live radio, Bigfoot Live Radio. It's because we're live people. We're not a recording. We bleed the way you bleed. We put our pants on the same way you do, one leg at a time. We drive one vehicle at a time. We're not invincible. We're not superhuman. We're just like you. And that's the reason why we've been, how many years now, Bill?
Well, 7 years.
7 years. And I'll tell you what, it's like the 7-year itch, ladies and gentlemen. If you can go 7 years and still be there and keep growing, that means you've reached the pinnacle. Any time after this now is just gravy for all of us. And you know what? If it wasn't for you listeners around the globe making us number one and being as big as we are, we would have nothing. And I want to thank you from Bill and myself. Goes out to everyone out there. I've become a little melancholy, ladies and gentlemen. It's because it's not that my birthday's around the corner, but that...
It is. It's right around the corner.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? Pretty soon I'm going to be going around to see my sweetie, and even if it's a day or two. And I'll be back in heaven as far as I'm concerned. But nevertheless, we still get out there and heel it, toe it, boots on the ground and make things happen. And hopefully, within a very short period of time, we'll be able to come out and share with the rest of you people what we're actually doing. I understand you got a hell of a show tonight, Bill.
Well, yeah, we got we got Nick from Ohio.
Yeah, I'm noticing that. Nick from Ohio, yeah, is an encounter experience, and going to talk about the video with the possible frames of a creature. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, why don't we get out there to Ohio and talk to good old Nick. Nick, you out there?
Yeah.
How you been, bud?
Pretty good. How are you?
Well, if I felt any better, I'd have to see a doctor. That's how good I feel, Nick. What's the weather like down in your neck of the woods?
Cold, about 50 degrees out.
That's during the day, right, Nick?
During the day it got about 65, 70, probably.
Okay, so at nighttime it's getting down to 50?
Yeah, 50, 40.
50 or 40, okay. What neck of the woods are you in Ohio?
I'm up around by Washington Courthouse, Columbus.
How far are you from the Shawnee Forest?
I'm a good 75 miles, probably.
So you're a little bit more than an hour. Have you been ever out in that neck of the woods?
What?
Have you ever been out in that neck of the woods?
Yeah, I've been there a few times. I was at my friend's house. I was supposed to help him with a few things when I went and stayed with him. That's when I had my encounter.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, why don't you, for the people who are just tuning in for the first time, why don't you tell everybody about that encounter?
All right. Well, he'd been having some weird things happening, like he heard strange hollers or yells. Like, basically, one night his mule was acting up, and he heard this weird yell, and it sounded like a woman.
Yeah, Nick, I think you're cutting out a little bit.
Oh, it sounded like a woman from like the. Hold on. Is this better?
You're still cutting out, Nick.
I am. Hello?
Might be your.
Oh, anyway, he had like different weird high pitched whistles around his property, weird screams. He didn't know what kind of animal would do it. And basically, I got in contact with the Ohio.
Hey, Nick, I think you go. You're coming in now, but maybe it's the way you're holding your phone or something. Could you check that? I think you're cutting in and.
Okay.
No.
I was earlier, but I'm not now.
Okay, now you're okay.
Okay. Anyway, he was hearing like weird high-pitched whistles, a scream that sounded like a woman far off in the distance that he couldn't explain, and stuff like that. And I sent an email to the Ohio Bigfoot team, I guess, and they sent an investigator down, and they did a night investigation before I went down to help him. And they got a few things, but they didn't report it. They got the screams, and Kenny thought he heard like chattering or whatever, and they even thought they had a stick thrown at them, but that was about it. But they didn't get any of it recorded. So I went down like the next weekend on a Sunday, and I came, and we went to this bridge that he has over water. It used to be a road. It was called Cave Run Road, and it doesn't exist anymore. And back this road is 1,000 acres of private property in behind my friend's house. Well, anyway, we start doing some tree knocks, and right away we get two responses that sound like one knock. And we both like, whoa, we wasn't expecting that. So we do it a few more times. We don't get any responses. We go back to his house, and we sit on his porch, and we kind of hear like a whistling. The whistling that he was telling me about. And I can't do the whistling. I'm sorry, I can't imitate the noises, but it's just a weird high-pitched whistle that even the Bigfoot research guy, when he heard it, he's like, what is that? And Kenny said, well, you're supposed to tell me. Like, he didn't know. Well, anyway, I went inside, and he went to bed, and I couldn't sleep. My back was acting up, and I watched a couple movies. And about 4:30 in the morning, I went outside, sat on the porch, and about 10 minutes later, I hear this short, quick grunt come from the woods. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And a few moments later, I hear like something that's getting killed. it's like squealing. It's like, you know, squealing for its life or whatever. So I'm like, oh crap, I get up and I go inside. And anyway, I still couldn't go to bed. My back, I didn't bring any pain medication. So I wait till about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I go down to the woods where I kind of thought I heard the grunt, and I didn't know what to do, so I went to the edge of the woods, and I kind of made two whooping noises, and it's every time I say it, this thing, it stood up on two legs. I could see it through the clearing, and it could see me, but I couldn't see its face because its face was blocked. It stood up in the clearing and went at me and took off running, and I went running the opposite way. So I was like, I was hyperventilating by the time I got back to the house. I didn't know what the thing was, and I called my parents. I told them what I saw, and a little bit later, I woke Kenny up, and he doesn't like to wake up early. He was kind of grouchy, and he told me that deers sometime, they jump straight up, like they look like they're standing, but this thing was 6 foot tall. I mean, it was huge. It was no deer, but he kind of had me convinced that it might have been. So I got thinking to myself, well, if something's there, there had to have been tracks. So about three hours later, around 10:15, I go back into the woods. And I'm not looking around me. I'm just looking at the ground. And I'm just, like, kind of hunched over looking for tracks. I'm not paying attention to my surroundings or anything. And I see what looks like this big round pile of scat. And I'm like, that's weird. And it's like dark green looking, and I'm like, kind of almost looks human, basically. And I grab a leaf and I start to scoop. And as I'm scooping, over my left shoulder, I hear the again. And I'm like, okay, Kenny's messing with me. So I kind of raise up, and I look over my left shoulder, and I see the thing take off running. And it was running, and it was zigzagging, or avoiding stuff in the woods, I guess, would be my best thing. And I saw it looked, the best way to explain it, my dad's about 6 foot. It looked like the back of my dad, full of hair, kind of had a short neck, and I couldn't see no ears. And as soon as I realized what it was, I took off the opposite way, and it was already through the woods. It's just spooky. I'm afraid to go into the woods now. I have to go with somebody. So that's my encounter.
Oh man!
But on the last day, I managed to walk into the woods by myself with a little Kodak camera, and I had his little Kenny's little dog with me, and we're going through the trails that he like cut out with his lawnmower, and I might have caught something. I don't know. You have to look at it frame by frame, but it just looks like it shouldn't be there. Yeah.
Okay, I can still hear you, buddy. I don't know what's going on.
Tom, I can hear you. Are you there, Tom?
I'm still here, buddy. I have a feeling my phone is going to go out because I'm noticing I only got one bar, but I've been hearing bells and whistles and every damn thing. I don't know what's going on.
Nick, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Something happened on the phone system, Tom. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
It's working now, I think, but I got a... Good God, I don't know.
Yeah. Did you hear the phones ringing? There's phones ringing, Bill.
No, I don't hear anything. There was... I just dialed in with my cell phone just now,
uh-huh.
And because I thought there was something wrong, because nobody was answering up except Nick, and I thought maybe right. Something else was wrong. I don't know. Well, Nick, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But let me put you on notice, Bill. I may fade out completely because I notice I don't have any charge left. But I'll keep talking until I can. Okay, buddy?
Yeah, no problem.
Well, Nick, listen, an exciting story, and wow. Now, I understand that you've got some video, possible frames of a creature.
Yeah, it looks like it when you when you have your camera and you review it on your camera and you go frame by frame, it kind of looks like there's something there. But I'm going to try to send it to Marco, and I got dial-up internet, so that might take a day or two.
Oh, you bet, yeah.
That's no problem.
Yeah. Well, listen, when you get it downloaded, if you can, send it over to us, and we'll take a look at it, okay?
All right. Have you ever heard of them hissing before? Somebody, would that be like defense, or they were afraid, or?
No. You hit it right on the head. It's like a mock charge. Uh-huh. You know, when you think that they're going to come out after you, they'll beat their chest like an ape, a silverback does, and they'll do that to say that, hey, this is my territory, and if you get any closer, I'm going to beat the hell out of you.
I have to say that I think if I had to estimate the second time how close it was to me, it was probably 8 to 10 feet from me when it hissed at me. That's how close it sounded. And like I said, I wasn't paying attention to my surroundings. I was looking down at the ground for tracks. I'm like, you know, there's no way nothing a second time is going to happen.
Well, so, I'll tell you this. You know, Nick, if you were that close,
yeah.
If you were that close, and you actually saw the frame of the creature?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people, excuse the expression, would have shit their britches.
I almost did something like that fact on the way running back to the house, but... But
see,
I'm
curious now. You got the curiosity stumped the cat. So if you do get those pictures sent over to Marco, I'd appreciate it. We'll talk about it next week. Okay, buddy?
All right, I will, sir.
Thank you so much. Listen, mute yourself up. We've got a whole bunch of shows still left.
Okay.
I don't know how much I'm going to be on, but we're going to do it. All right, thanks so much. Hey, Bill, let's go to a commercial.
Okay, here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And Tom, we're back.
Yay, yay, yay. Okay, buddy. Well, listen, I got to tell you, I can't wait to see some of these photos. Anytime,
yeah.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen. 8-10 feet away from you. Just visualize yourself. Just pace it off. 10 feet. That is close.
I know.
Wow. That is close, Bill. You know, without any further ado, we got our brothers, Rocky and Swede, out there in Arkansas. And these guys were gone for a month, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take a gander and see what they got. You out there, guys?
Yeah, right here.
Hey, Rocky, how you doing, brother?
It's going good. How about you?
Listen there. What would have happened if you were 10 feet away from a creature?
Well, he would have to work hard to get any traction because I'd leave a trail of shit a foot deep.
I was thinking that the response to my question would have been, well, Tom, you'd be looking at a piece of Swiss cheese, ape style. Knowing you, Rock. Well, hey, Sweet, with you? Bobby, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Tom. How are you doing?
How you doing, good buddy?
And I'm like you. I'm doing so good, I'd have to sit on my hands, keep them waving to everybody going by.
Isn't that the truth? You know, I've been saying to myself, you know, God is good. You know, when you wake up and your eyes open and you're on this side of the ground instead of inside the dirt, well, the big guy in the sky gave us another lease on life for at least another day.
Amen.
Yes, amen, it's true. Now, what happened? You guys were gone for a month. Anything now, good?
Tom, we were gone a little bit longer than a month. we kind of, when we first got there, out to the woods, we set up our campsites. We wouldn't set out bait. And then we decided we were going to go down deep and check out some areas that we'd never been before. And, well, we rode our four-wheelers until we couldn't go any further on the four-wheelers, and we got off and walked. Well, it rained on us a little bit, and didn't pay much attention to it. Well, it started sprinkling again, and I told the Swede, you know, I said, well, why don't we just go ahead and, you know, spend the night here and get up and get a fresh start in the morning. He thought that was a good idea, and, well, he told me later that he's not going to listen to me anymore. Because we woke up about 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was raining so damn hard that, we started looking about, trying to find some stuff to build an ark out of. Well, sit there for a little while, and I finally told the Swede, you know, said, might ought to try to get out of here before we get in trouble. Well, like I say, it was late, early in the morning, and it was raining so hard you couldn't see 8 feet. And, well, we came to a little creek. It was a little creek when we first came to it. The second time we came to it, it wasn't little anymore. And we decided we'd just go ahead and give it a try, and it beat the crap out of us trying to get across the river. Well, we got over on the other side and thought all was well, and we went about, two or three hundred feet, I guess, and we came up to one that was just horrible. Another creek. Well, we went back to the one that we just crossed, and, well, it was coming up fast. So we decided we'd just throw our little emergency tents back up and huddle up and wait till in the morning and try it again. Well, it rained all day that day hard. It rained all day the next day hard. And it rained for 5 days really hard. And, well, finally when it quit raining, I told Swede, I'm going to walk up north of here and see if I can find a way across. And so he went south, and I found where the river, the creek split right up above us. And it had us on both sides up north. So I started walking back down south and met the Swede, and he said, it comes together right below us. So we sit there for 14 days.
On an island.
Trapped between two creeks. I mean bad creeks. We had trees coming down, and, we was expecting to see boats floating by and houses and all that at any time, but fortunately there's nothing out there like that, but it was bad. Well, like I say, it took us 14 days before we got to, well, the Swede finally decided he was going to swim it. But, we had plenty of food.
Yeah, and
don't
forget to tell him about the swimming it thing about, I thought he was going to, I put the rope on because I thought he was going to, you know, in case I got in trouble, he's going to pull me out. But come to find out, his intentions were as if I drowned it, he was going to put me on the barbecue grill. He didn't want to lose me down the creek. Do you believe that, Tom?
Well, I didn't know if it was going to rain again.
That's true.
And I wanted to be sure I had plenty to eat, so... that's kind of one of those things. When you go camping with me, be sure that... I die first, or I'm going to consume you.
That's right. We had baits and stuff out, and all that time lost on the island where we were stuck in there. You know, we made do. We had food with us and stuff, and Rocky killed a coon, and we had a real good coon cooking.
Absolutely delicious.
Cooked it in a pit, but when we got out of there, after we got out of there and got back on track, we had to kind of regroup and take about a day to after we got back to our, we went back to our second camp, and a big tree had crunched and fell over and destroyed our tent, and so we decided we'd go on back to the base camp, and we rode all the way back up to the base camp and got into the food and stuff.
Well, before we went back to the camp, Robert said, well, let's get a bite to eat. And so we went back down where we had some food stashed, and he ate two cans of Denny Moore's stew all by himself. I ate a great big can of pork and beans.
Yeah.
When we got back up to the camp, I slept in the tent and Robert slept in the back of my truck because he said he couldn't stay in the tent any longer.
I'd been sleeping outside for 2 weeks, and I decided I needed to sleep again outside, Tom, because he was about to gas me out. But we, overall and all, though, we didn't really get to see much. We didn't get to do very much tracking, Tom. The rain really messed us up. Every time, I mean, it was just so much rain that there was no way that you could even catch a track. You know, even a hog track was, obliviated within minutes when that rained. But after it finally quit raining and we did get to get around, we saw some footprints across the clearing there that obviously wasn't a hog or a deer or something like that. It was some Bigfoot with a big feet with big stride. But and we had how many baits we have out, Rocky? Seven?
We had a total of eight.
Eight.
Yeah.
And the eight baits that we had out, Tom, there was only two of them that hadn't been touched. The others had had the paracord broken or the limbs tore down. But we were unable to do much about that, but we did have when we went down and stayed at Lake Dead, and there was during the night time I heard a big kaplook, and I woke up and crawled out of my little bivvy there, and it did it again, big splash in the lake right there, kind of handy, and I woke Rocky up. He rolled out of there with his handgun and flashlight, and we were just sitting there in the dark listening, and a big splash right in front of us there, to the point where the water actually had splashed up on us. And something was throwing stones from across the lake, which was a good, it's probably right there where the closest point that it could hit the water that close to us was probably what, Rocky? Probably a 60-yard throw.
Oh yeah, every
easy
bit of
60 yards of a throw, but we heard some vocalization,
yeah.
Some hooping.
That's 180 feet for sure. Anyhow, listen here. I want to ask you something. You said out of the eight baited stations, at least six or seven were messed with, and some of the limbs where you had this stuff hanging from were broke off. Now, what kind of weight do you think, or the strength of what kind of animal could have broke those limbs, Swede?
Well, Tom, you know, the 550 paracord is rated at 550 pounds, but it's really about 600-pound test line. You know, it's very stout. I can hang by it myself. I weigh 240 pounds, and I can hang by it in our bait tree by myself and not break it. So whatever it was, it's not a bear. A bear can't, it's not going to climb up on there and do the suicide dive off that limb and break it to get that bait. It's not going to happen. We've never seen it. It's never happened that way. Something standing on the ground, reaching it up about 7 foot high, 8 foot high, and pulling it down. It'd have to be something that was, I mean, you know, I'm sure that probably if I had a stick or something, you know, large enough to wrap around that paracord where it wouldn't cut into my hand and did the big jump up there and grab on it. If I rode it hard enough, I could break a limb off. But to have that many broke off all at once and the paracord actually busted, There's got to be something big.
You bet, sweet. Ladies and gentlemen, did you listen very closely while Robert the Swede just described this? Let's say they had five, just for argument's sake, even though there was more. And they were put out on limbs. How high up? 7, 8, 10 feet?
Yeah, in that vicinity. You know, much higher than a bear can reach or any, you know, thing can jump. And it's also...
You're teasing them, I understand. Now, here's the thing. How thick or round were these limbs, sweet?
Generally, Tom, when we first started with that, you know, it's a trial and error thing. And when we first started, you know, we didn't really consider that point too much. You know, just as long as it was holding it up there. We would do something like a, you know, as big as your thumb or something like that. But nowadays, we try to get on something that's like on a hardwood tree, like say an oak tree or a hickory tree, and we try to get on a limb that's as big around as a, you know, oh, somewhere around baseball bat size. You know, you're talking at the trunk and then going on out like the small end of a baseball bat where you grip your hand onto it, you know, 2 or 3 inches out there where we hang it. And hickory's very resilient, you know, it's very flexible. When you snap a green hickory limb down and break it, you've really done something. I mean, it's a tremendous load on that to do it. If the cord doesn't break, the limb breaks. So it's something big. You know, it's not a coon.
Well, you know what blows my mind, sweet, excuse me for interrupting, is, you know, that cord that you're using has a strength of upwards of 600 pounds, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just trying to build this picture for our audience around the globe, sweet, so please bear with me. So, ladies and gentlemen, this cord that they're hanging the bait with, okay, they got a picture. They're up, take a big tree, a trunk of a tree, go up 8 to 10 feet high, and the limb, of course, from the tree, from the trunk, going out, is going to get thicker from the tree trunk, and then thins out, and the smallest part will be the part of maybe a baseball bat, ladies and gentlemen. So they're going to go probably somewhere in the dead center and hang this. So between the strength of the cord and the strength of a tree, now remember what he said, it's either a hickory or an oak. Now these damn trees are pretty damn strong, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to be of some stout weight to break something like this, okay? Even if you're hanging on it, you're 300-400 pounds and swinging on the damn thing. Because there's only one or two things going to happen with these kind of trees. And remember this closely. And any of you people who have real oak wood in your homes, you know how heavy that stuff is, okay? And when you picture this, that it's going to be an inch thick, and this ones that up there are probably 4 inches in diameter, this stuff is pretty hard. So it's going to take something that has got some abnormal strength, ladies and gentlemen, in which we know a chimpanzee now, remember this, a chimpanzee at 3 to 5 years old can break a quarter-inch steel coupling with their bare hands. So what could one of these creatures coming in between 400 to 600 pounds, anywhere from 6.5 to 8 feet tall, what could they do? Just picture that for a second. My God.
That's amazing, Tom. It's really something to think about, because you got to think about that cord. You know, it's tied off on the trunk, and so it's got a fishing pole effect. You know, it's not a dead pull where you could snap that 600. You got some flex in that wood and stuff. You're talking about some maybe load-bearing with the flex and not a dead pull on there. You're probably talking 800 pounds of force on that before the line breaks or the tree breaks. That's big time.
It's huge. It really is. By the way, before we get any closer, because I don't know how much longer this phone of mine is going to last, what's the weather like out there at nighttime, Swede, right now?
It's running, the last few days it's been like down into the high 40s and into the 50s. We've actually had a little cool spell, rain-free, thank goodness, you know, up into the mid-70s 80 degrees during the day, and in the nighttime it's falling off pretty good. We're getting into the fall pattern.
Yeah. You know, we're less than, just about, I think, about 30 days out before the clocks change. And they already changed, haven't they? I don't even know anymore.
They haven't changed yet.
They're moving
have
on
they changed
back,
yet, Ben?
Back into the end of October, isn't it, before it changes?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought. But, you know, I don't know where I'm at anymore, to be honest with you. But so what do we got? We're less than 30 days away before that happens, right, folks?
Somewhere in there, I think so, Tom.
Yeah, so it's going to get darker sooner. So spring forward, fall backward. Okay,
correct.
Gotcha. Okay,
it'll be getting dark at 5 o'clock. Before.
So let me ask you this. Did you get to see anything besides the spray of some footprints and some stride marks and some listening to the pebbles being thrown or the rocks being thrown in the water at you guys in the middle of the night? You get to see
vocalizations.
We had some vocalizations, Tom. Some big whooping, you know, some pretty good whooping, short whoops.
Yeah.
When we had, after the rock throwing thing, of course, there was no more sleeping that night. We stayed up and just sat there, you know, we always have a cold camp. We never start a fire, so we were able to see. When Rocky throwed the light on across there when he first got out, there were some red eyes just for a second, you know, just a brief, you know, maybe a 1 second view of some red eyes, and then it was gone. And when we went back across, we made our way back across over there on the other side of the lake the next day where Rocky had seen the eyes at. And actually, Tom, we had found some impressions in the ground where those sand rocks were pulled up out of the ground. And I'm talking about some rocks about baseball size.
Wow.
Not pebbles. Wow. I'm talking about big stones. So we never did physically see anything besides the red eyes. We had some encounters with the hoop, and we really, you know, the big rain when it flooded so much, I don't know if that had anything to do with maybe suppressing some of the activity. You know, it was 2 weeks of hell down there on the island. We had a good time, don't get me wrong, but you know, it was kind of disappointing we didn't get to do some of the other stuff we were planning to do. That's why we extended the time. The moon was right. We should have been able to get a little bit more stuff going on, but I think that rain and all that water kind of messed stuff up just a little bit. That's all I can say about that. We had the vocalizations. We had some rock thrown. We had our baits ripped down, but we never laid eyes on anything in daylight hour at all. And
except a bear.
Except for that, hobbit bear broke into our. I had an encounter with the bear in the daylight. It was that water's rushing. He didn't hear me, and I didn't hear him. And we looked up at each other, and I grabbed my pistol, and he grabbed some gone.
You talked about this pistol. Did Rocky grab the hand cannon that he has?
Yeah, that's kind of like our underwear, Tom. We don't leave home without it. You know?
I got to tell you something. He was down there in Arkansas, and he was down there at Jimmy's place, and he fired off that hand cannon. I got to tell you, folks, all I saw was a big puff of smoke and fire coming out that damn nozzle. And I'm telling you, he's deadly with this thing.
Hey, Tom.
What,
the one that you saw was a baby compared to the one that I was carrying. I was carrying a 500 Smith & Wesson. I could almost put my gun inside the barrel of that gun.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
It's a dandy.
Oh,
yeah,
it's serious.
Well, everything that you carry is serious, man. I mean, it's got a hell of a deal. Everything you got. Look here. We're coming around the bend here, and my phone is going out for sure. Marco, can you handle the rest, please, buddy? Because I'm getting.
Yes. I understand.
Let me just say this. All you guys that I've talked to Nikki, to Swede, to you there, Rocky, my brother, thank you for sharing. Dave Ortiz, I know where you're coming up, and Anthony in Virginia. And then you guys and Tim's have the slideshow. I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys so much. I'm coming home someday here real soon. Miss Caliban, see you then. Kudos and salutations.
Don't take Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Yep, he just drafted it out. Well, Rocky, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to have about a 5 or 10 minute thing at the end of the show, as you know.
I just wanted to pop this in here, Marco. Don't hesitate if anybody's got anything going on down. Put it out there that around here in the area and around our neck of the woods there. Give me and Rocky a call, and we'll be glad to get in on that and kind of check things out if anybody needs a little hand.
No problem at all. And Rocky, did you contact old little Robbie there the other day?
Do what?
Robbie.
I tried, but I was I talked to him for about a minute. He said he was real busy and that he'd get back with me. And
oh, okay, no problem. I just want to know, you tried to contact him. You got a hold of him. He's fixing his car.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Well, I've got his number. I'll try him again tomorrow.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. No problem.
All right, Marco. Well, thanks. Well, I'll be sitting back sandbagging and listening.
Okay. I'm going to meet you out, and we're going to go to the next guest. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's Rocky and Swede, and now we're going to go to Dave Ortiz from Four Corners, New Mexico. Dave, how are you tonight, my friend?
Doing good, Marco. Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Dave, before we start off, on www.bigfootlive.com, on the left side of the main page that you come to there, excuse me, I got frog in my throat here. In the left side of the page, you're going to see it says what's on this week. Go into that, click on that, and you'll take you to the listing of the show tonight. And under Dave Ortiz, you're going to see two links. And one link is from the video that they took last month, and it shows a Bigfoot, and you can follow it through. And the other is an advertisement for a symposium that's going to take place, a Bigfoot conference that's going to take place in Four Corners up there on the 28th and 29th of October, right?
Actually, September.
Oh, I'm sorry, September. It is September. Next week.
Yeah, this weekend, actually.
Yeah, actually, this weekend, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought I just announced that again. The flyers are up there on the webpage. And I thought I'd just mention that before we start.
Oh, well, thank you, Marco Bill. Yeah, it'll be a good place to be on the weekend, especially Saturday when they have the guests. And I'm even performing there with a gal named Nina Sasaki for about an hour during lunch.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so we'll just do a duo. And, and we'll have Scott Teagle coming in. He's really interesting. He's going to be doing the dissimulating the language. What he did is he slowed down some of the what is purported Bigfoot speech, slows it down, and he thinks that there is an actual language built within that.
Well, very well, yeah, it could be.
So I'm actually going to give him a little tour of the area Friday morning. I'm going to pick him up in Durango Airport, and I'm just going to take him to some, just a real brief trip to some areas that we think are have higher density Bigfoot activity.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that'll happen. The video that's the video that you have on there too, isn't it?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, and that was taken about a month ago. I got a call originally from Brenda, who was in Albuquerque with her children, and I she couldn't make it to a friend's house that lives just west of Farmington. So I took the call. I had to wait about maybe just 15 minutes. It wasn't even on a property. I was just standing on a dirt road, and saw movement, so I decided to turn on the camera. The landowners were nearby, the ones that had reported, this sighting. So we were just discussing about it, some possible theories what it is. Don't really know, the total origins. There's so many possibilities with this thing. But
sure.
I took some footage, and this thing is... it's definitely something large and upright, and I took some pictures, too, as it was near a camper, and you could see the side profile of it was really, It was weird. I don't know if you posted those pictures up. I think I sent it to you.
I didn't post. I don't think. All I got is the video up there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I should send you those pictures.
But the video is pretty good.
Yeah. And the side view, it's just very skinny, and it has this long neck, and, you know, it has a hunch to it. It's just very strange. You know, it looks partially human, not really ape-like. You know, I could almost say almost alien-like, if anything, you know.
Yeah.
And the distance is about, looking through Google Earth, it was about 1.1 miles away. So I really had to push that 300-millimeter zoom, you know, to...
Well, it did pretty good. In fact, it was about the steadiest I've ever seen.
Yeah, I had it on a tripod. And
it worked.
Yeah.
Whatever. That thing can cover some ground pretty fast. Huh? That's just walking.
Yeah.
It wasn't running. It was just walking.
Yeah, just walking.
When you look for that 10-minute period, that thing covered... I mean, when you're looking at it, you got to imagine how far that thing walked. And it was a long, long way.
Plus, the terrain, too, is pretty rugged. You know, it was going through this little mini canyon.
Well, there's a road there, and it wasn't walking on the road. It was walking in the rocky, sandy, rocky stuff, whatever, you know, the desert kind. You know, that's real hard.
Exactly. And also on a steep slope, too, on sideways, you know, which would take us a lot of effort because there's, you know, there's like river rock and cacti and all kinds of stuff out there, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it was quite an amazing video, and that's the first time I've ever seen one. It's like, wow, finally I've seen a Bigfoot.
Right now, some other things have been going on, too.
Yeah.
Can you catch us up with that?
Sure. Lately I've been talking to some of the friends that live in the general area, particularly the San Juan River area. This is harvest. Well, harvest time is just about over. It's getting pretty cool up here now. But a lot of people are reporting their fruit, vegetables are being raided by something. Some people don't want to admit it's a Bigfoot. Others will say, yeah, look at my watermelon. And I have some pictures of those, too. There's watermelons that are being split open, and they're just scooping out that watermelon to eat. And
wow.
There's been some associated tracks with it, too. That same contactee that called me up for the Bigfoot video has had lots of problems with their vegetables being raided. Plus, one of their horses actually took off. These horses have been traumatized possibly by a Bigfoot going over there and visiting the horses and scratching one of them regularly. They had to finally put the horses close to the house because the corral is about 100 yards from the house. And it's just too far for the owners to keep good security. But one of the horses was a Mustang. They were trying to break it and train it, and it took off. It went into the river, stayed on an island for about a day or two, and then took off across the river directly where that Bigfoot was seen in the video.
Wow.
They haven't seen it since. They're just going to go get another Mustang or another horse. But, yeah, it's been very active. I just talked to Brenda the other day, too. She says, yeah, she's just getting reports at both directions. I think they had something approach their house pretty close here just about 3 nights ago. The dogs were just going crazy and looking in one direction. Naturally, they couldn't see anything beyond their yard because it's just pitch black. But there was something out there. But they've been hearing a lot of screaming, a lot of howling and yelling. These things are getting so active. It used to just be like maybe once every 2 years, and it got to be a year, then just every few months. Now it's every year, and this year has been the most frequent.
Sure.
For sighting, not just sightings, but also just, you know, vocalizations and just general activity.
Yeah, it's been pretty high all over. I mean, this has been a very active year.
Yeah, very interesting. So it's almost, I would almost say there's a predictability almost in being able to do some investigation with this stuff.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna continue, obviously, to keep your your eyes and ears peeled, and of course you go out occasionally up here too with Brenda and them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I'll be in touch with you.
Okay, yeah. We're actually going to go out too with on the conference. I think Saturday night or even Sunday night we're going to do some investigation too for the guests who want to go and just to see what's going on out there. But Friday we're going to go out to the after I pick up Scott Teagle, we're going to go out to the parts of the San Juan Mountains for a little while and go check up on some areas that I've discovered out there, too.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did William Barnes bring his balloon, or it's not ready yet, right?
Well, I hope so. I'd like to see what, how it works. It might work out there really well, actually. If he has some infrared or night vision of some sort on it.
Well, he's got everything. He's got the optics, everything. Silent engine, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, well, he'll be...
And from 3,000 feet, from 3,000 feet, he can take a license plate and read it on a car. So
oh, great. Well, he'll be...
It's
a,
pretty good
optics. Yeah, he'll be at ground zero for all this.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent.
Well, heck, I'll we'll go on to Anthony, and then we'll I'll see you at the end of the show here.
Okay, sounds great, Marco Bill.
Yeah, thanks, Dave, and keep on. I'll give you a call next week to see how things are going.
Okay, sounds great. Yeah, I'd like to give you a full report.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to mute you out.
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Dave Ortiz from Four Corners, New Mexico. And next we're going to go to Anthony from Virginia, our good buddy. Anthony, how are you?
All right, Marco Bell. I hope you're doing well. I know the time. I know it's dropped off, but just want to say hello to him.
Well, his phone battery was low. He's had a heck of a day today.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty busy. And his phone got kind of over. He has an extra large battery on his phone. So, I mean, this is like very rarely does it ever get to where it gets down, right? But tonight it was really down there, and he didn't have time to charge it. So, well, how's things been going?
Been doing pretty good. Had two interesting things that had happened over the week, and number one, I've been telling you about my friend over there. You know, the one that he. Where he had started by telling me he had seen monkeys going in trees. But he had was riding his lawn mower, and he was cutting the grass, and he had laid his, you know, his Walkman, like personal stereo, you know, down on the barbecue grill, and there was nobody but him around, and he had walked around, and he remembered... you know, he just happened to, I mean, he remembered how he laid it down, you know, it was just right there. And it looked like, you know, while he was going back to get it, you know, after he was done, someone had messed with it. And, you know, and the reason why he was even more attracted to what was going on is because he had heard something faint in the distance, and he realized that it was turned on. It looked, you know, the headphones were, you know, yeah, everything was just misplaced. It just wasn't left like he had it. And it wasn't a windy day, and, you know, like I said, his kids didn't mess with it or anything like that. So, you know, he knows somebody, you know, not only messed with his thing, you know, but, you know, found the power button and turned it on, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. We had an incident yesterday. We were with some friends, and I took my kids and their kids, and we were walking out into the woods, and, you know, all the kids and everybody, you know, we all have a good time, but, you know, it was getting dark. I didn't have a flashlight or anything like that, but, you know, as I was saying, come on, let's get going. We got to walk back. You know, it was, you know, the sun was setting, you know, it was already, you know, down. We couldn't see the sun anymore, so, you know, the cloud, you know, it was getting dark in the sky. And so before we couldn't find the path, you know, in pitch black darkness, I'm like, hey, let's get out of here. And one of the my friend's son, he, you know, he's about 9, 10 years old. He said, hey, I see a pair of eyes. And I said, okay, where, you know, but when I caught up to him, I said, tell me, where is it? And he said, well, it was right there, but then it went that way, and it kind of climbed up a tree. And I said, you know, like, and first thing I started doing was looking up in a tree. I couldn't see anything. I mean, you know, the leaves are still kind of thick right now. You know, nothing's fallen down yet. I mean, you know, it's kind of like looking up into, you know, just everything was covered. I mean, I couldn't even see a branch or anything. I mean, it's just thick part of the woods. But we saw, you know, I did try to stay a little bit just to see if I could hear anything, and I kept asking him, kept saying, are you sure you saw a pair? I mean, because none of us had a flashlight, You know, I mean, there was no moonlight. There was definitely no sunlight. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, like, how did you see a pair of eyes?
You know?
Yeah. And so, you know, and without letting them, you know what was in the area, you know, we just continued on. And the interesting thing is that, you know, when we were on this path, we made a turn, and, you know, and just to give the listeners an idea, the first pair of eyes that he had seen and that had went up into the tree was on the left-hand side. And so now we're walking to the path and we're trying to, you know, get back, you know, to where the property's cleared. We're not there yet. We still got a little way to go. And he says, oh, there, right there. I see another one. And, you know, we all kind of just like stop, like, we're just trying to see. We're just trying to see. And we just, I mean, you know, with the sun getting dark and all, we just, you know, and even with everybody, you know, it's hard to get, you know, there was seven of us out there, you know, it's hard to get everybody to stop all at one time just so we could try to listen to see, you know, if we could hear something moving. But if you know, he saw it again, and this time it was even in a darker part of the woods, and I'm like, you know, this is, and to me, I'm just saying to me because of the experience I had in this area, you know, and this happened to be, if you can recall, Marco, in the same area where I had set up the game cameras, and I took the game camera off, and a week later, brand new pine trees bent over. You know, that's yeah. One of the pictures is posted on the website,
right?
You know? Right, yep. So it's in that same wooded area, and. And so, I mean, you know, to me, I'm kind of convinced, you know, he probably did make some eye contact. But like I said, you know, because a lot of these creatures, and, you know, it's not just me, a lot of your guests have seen, you know, that they can, for some reason, they're able to see their eyes and you know.
Well,
without
any because
contact.
They're luminescent.
Yeah.
I think it's an infrared kind of a thing, something in the eye. In the retina of the eye or whatever, that it's kind of a glowy type, because that's what people always, you know, report. It's like a glow, a reddish, pinkish glow.
Yeah. I mean, because I've seen cats, dogs, raccoons, foxes. I mean, I've seen,
yeah,
you know,
deer, all
things.
Kinds of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and the only time you see, you know, eye shine is when you're shining something on them. If it's not
right, yeah, you have to have shine a light on it.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, I just kind of, you know, I thought it was pretty cool, but because we couldn't see an entire, I mean, but he, you know, he himself saw it, you know, and unfortunately, unless he grows up and sees a bigger one, you know, I certainly didn't, you know, give him any ideas of what it could be. You know, I really was hoping that it would pop out,
no,
you know,
no,
at least across
okay.
the path.
Yeah.
So that all
I
of them
think it's pretty
be,
neat.
So, but.
Well, gosh. That worked out pretty good, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. I just wish I could have seen it.
I know. Well, I'll be getting a hold of you next week again and see what's going on. I mean, you've been, you have a lot of activity out there where you're at, both in, you know, like visual kind of things, lots of sounds, lots
yeah.
of tree formations. God, the tree formations, I can't believe. Can you believe the tree formations between Tim and yours? It was almost like deja
yeah.
vu, wasn't it?
Yeah, kind of like in the same spot.
I left them
and
out
also
there.
That guess that you had about the whistling. I mean, you know, that's how I got
yep.
started with this a couple of years ago, was the whistling. You know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he keeps thinking nobody's ever going to believe that, you know, that this happens. And I said, that's what everybody says.
Hey,
I said,
What about your guest from last week that had the that he had pumped a few rounds into the bugger? I mean,
yeah, that was Robbie. Yeah,
yeah.
He's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Well, deer season started this past weekend, so I'm sure he's been out there heavy on deer hunting.
I did try to make contact with him, but I hadn't heard back from him yet.
Yeah, no, I understand, and I think he wanted everybody to get his number so they could call him. He's interested in starting this, and I figured all you guys could give him some pointers and stuff. He was asking me to, if I wouldn't mind, if I'd give his number to all you guys.
Sure, sure, not a problem.
And I'll do that for sure. And but Rocky tried to call him earlier. He wasn't. He was busy. Well, he's trying to fix. He's got his car. His car is almost wrecked from hitting that deer last week. And he's trying to fix it. And of course, he tries to fix it on his own because it costs a lot of money. Bent the frame. So hardy hit it. Well, hey, let's open it up to everybody. Let's open it up to everybody. I want to have Rocky's on. Anthony's on. Dave is on. Hey, Swede Dave. Is on. And Nick, you're on too. Steve,
hello,
you're on too.
Hello, Dave.
Yeah, I can hear you guys out there.
Well, has anybody got any questions for anybody?
Somebody.
Anybody?
Hey, Swede.
I was going to ask Dave about his. I didn't get to see the video on the walking out there. I was going to ask Dave whenever about his walking video. Was the creature's arm swinging, or was it holding its arms still beside itself?
At times it looked like it was swinging, but most of the time it seemed like it was holding the arms close to itself. What it was doing a lot was looking down at the ground.
Mm-hmm. Focusing on the terrain.
Yeah, like it was looking at something more than the terrain, like maybe like for bugs or mice or something. You know, it looked like it was very interested in looking at the ground through most of the time.
Right. Like when me and Rocky had the little thing there, I noticed that there wasn't a whole lot of arm movement.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I've seen some video where there was a lot of arm swinging going on, but what I've experienced, there's not been much arm swinging going on.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
Yeah, yeah, it didn't seem to be doing it a whole lot. Not as much as I would have expected, but yeah, it was more curious about looking at things at the ground for some reason. It was deliberately hunched over a lot, and the way it would stand too. I have a picture. I guess I didn't send it to Margo Bill. I'll have to send it to him, but it shows it completely bent over, like it's actually basically mooning me in the picture.
Might have been.
Yeah. And it was kind of a reddish brown. You could see the fur real good with the light glinting off of it. And it's looking, it's holding its legs kind of straight and looking down at the ground, is what it's doing. And it just looks kind of strange because you think it, like a human would like kneel down and just look at it, you know. But it's just, it's doing kind of what OSHA tells you not to do, is, you know, bend over with your legs close together and look at some, you know.
Right. Well, that was my question. I kept thinking about it when you were talking about it. I haven't seen the video yet. I'll get on there and look at it. But
okay.
That's pretty cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can
Nick,
I come over?
Do you have any questions?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Question, but I had the visual.
Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Anthony, go ahead. Nick's.
Yeah. Facial features.
I never seen its face. The first time it was through woods and that part was covered up, and the second time I was bent over, and when it hissed at me, it had already turned around and was running.
Did you get to see, you know, I guess my question is sparked by, I forgot his name, he just asked. I mean, did you happen to see any hands, feet?
Like the way he was describing was pretty much it kept its arm close to its body, and that's how it looked like to me. This was just a figure running, and you couldn't see any like major arm movement or anything.
Well, when he got up close to you, did you smell anything?
Nope, I didn't smell a darn thing. Nothing.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah, that was a good question. I would have asked about that tail. Forgot about the smell.
I've been reading online. I don't know if it was a juvenile or like a day scout or something that was. Heard about that one, the Finding Bigfoot or whatever, that they have day scouts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ran into one of them or a juvenile.
Yeah, my first visual was two juveniles.
I assume it's a juvenile because of how close it was to my friend's property.
I'm sure the big one can get just as close.
Yeah. But I don't know if they want to when they, I guess if they grow up, they know better, right?
Yeah, they'll stay further back.
Anyway, my friend's been putting apples up on trees like 9 foot tall. So that way, if anything takes it, he thinks they're back. He don't really believe, but eventually one day he'll see it if they keep coming around his property, if they come back next year.
Okay, me and the Swede have been taking sweet potatoes and apples and baking them in the oven and then kind of pulping them all, mashing them all up.
Mm-hmm.
And putting them and tearing a piece of toast sack and stuffing some in and hanging it about, about 8 feet off the ground and about 6 feet out from the trunk of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And, like the Swede is saying, we had six of them taken. Two hadn't been touched at all, but six of them had been taken. So it seems to be a pretty good recipe.
And it also, you know, like Rocky was saying, that sticking it out on the limb away from the tree, you prevent that coon thing going on. Them coons will get up on there. You put it on the tree, the coon can get to it. If it's next to that tree, if it's touching the tree, the coon's going to get it. Or if it's very close, he'll reach out there and grab it. But you, if you got it down from the limb, you know, about 3 foot, that paracord's so slick, he won't try to slide down it. And then if it's out far enough where you can't reach it, you know, it's pretty well, you've pretty well got it bear-proof and coon and possum-proof. So there's only one other thing in the woods besides, a man that's going to be able to do anything with it at 8 foot high. So it's worked good for us. The sweet potato and the baked sweet potato and apple thing works real good. And early season, the apple with the peanut butter on a piece of wire, run through it, works real well when it's early season.
Do you cook the apple?
Early season, don't we just take a piece of like number 9 wire and stick it through the core of the apple,
mm-hmm.
and then gouge some holes in the side of that apple and put some peanut butter on it, and just you make a little loop at the top there with your wire where you can put your cord through it, and it's just hanging there, kind of like a Christmas tree ornament.
And
put it out the same kind of a way. You can throw that, you got that all fixed up real nice there, and you tie your cord on there, and you just throw that apple up over the limb with it tied to the cord. You don't have to do no climbing or nothing, and then you can just take the tail end over to the side of the trunk and tie it on, you know, let it down as far as you want to.
Well, the sweet potato and the apple thing throws off a real, you can smell it. I can smell it as bad as mine was is.
A long ways away, huh, Rocky?
Oh, yeah. Then all you have to do is worry about walking up on a bear or some hogs that are interested. But, it's worked for us, and there's no bears in Arkansas don't get tall enough to reach up and get hold of something like that.
What kind of sack did you use?
Just an old gunny sack, an old burlap sack.
And that burlap kind of keeps the flies from getting into it too. It makes it.
Yeah, we cut a burlap sack up and just kind of made pouches out of it, and it was more like smearing a paste in it than it was actually putting fruit in it, because we mashed it up pretty good.
Right.
But
you don't take a lot of it. You don't have to. You don't have to make a 5 gallon bucket full. You can make it like a coffee can full, and that'll make 2 or 3 baits.
Oh yeah,
easy. You know, 2 or 3 good sweet potatoes and 3 or 4 apples will make enough bait for a real good outing.
We found out that pawpaws don't work all that well because we ate them all.
Yeah, we ate all the pawpaws. Well, we ate all we could find. I'm sure the critters. There was a lot of critters been in there eating them. A lot of pawpaws. We didn't talk about that during the show, but. We did see a lot of pawpaw trees that were skinned over, 25 foot tall ones that were skinned over and been pulled down, kind of like you would see the tree thing, but they were pulling them down real nice and easy and just pulling the fruit off of them and not breaking them. It was pretty, we've seen that before, but we did see a lot of that. And we we experienced a little bit of that ourselves. We skinned some young ones over, and we ate so many pawpaws that Rocky got the got him a big dose of the shits.
It was worth it.
But it's worth it.
Sardines will work, too.
Sardines do
sardines,
work.
Sardines work, but over here where we've been, we've got a lot more interest in fruit and my cuties. I'm still not over that damn thing stealing my cuties.
Yeah, that was peanut butter. Peanut butter works well.
Yeah, anything that throws off a good a strong sweet smell will pull those things up really well. And I, you know, other places it might work better, but around here it seems like our apples and sweet potatoes. And you know, we just get the crappiest sweet potatoes and apples that we can find. I mean, the cheapest stuff we can find, because we're just putting them out there for the smell, and we're not eating them. So, and it did bring it brought something up, because, like I say, out of eight baits, they got six of them, and the one area where we had them up, there was no sign that anything had ever been through there since the dinosaurs.
Yeah, that was a totally new area there.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a draw it in there. The key to that, I mean, the sardine thing works good, but like in our area, it's so mountainous and so ridgy, and then down in the valleys, it's just, you know, it's just such a, you could have a 300, you know, laterally, you could have, say, 900 feet of lateral, and then vertically, you may have 300 feet of elevation, so it's kind of up and down, really steep up and down, and the river's down there close down to the water. You know, I don't know if those creatures get down in. I know they go down in there and mess around down there in the river, but I think that they're just more interested. There's so much pawpaw and fruit and stuff around there that I think that like Rocky said, that sweet smell is the big draw for us anyway. I mean, we've been down to South Arkansas on some expeditions on some stuff that we were called in on, and they were having good luck with tuna fish and sardines and that type of thing, but it's a whole different terrain, you know, like nice flat ground and so forth. It just really depends on what kind of terrain you have. You just have to try a few different things and find out what works and what doesn't. That works good for us, and we've had good luck with it, and it's cheap.
Well, you guys talking about smells and stuff, my friend, he kind of started a new diet, and he pretty much every night, almost every other night, he grills out salmon. So if they like that kind of fishy smell, maybe that's why.
That may be the draw that's bringing them in. You know, it could be very well be. They'd be thinking about that salmon. I'm sure that they probably would like to have some salmon if they could get it. I know if I smell it cooking on the grill, I'm heading that way.
Well, gosh, guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight, so much for sharing. Nick, Rocky, Swede, Dave, and Anthony, and of course Steve.
Yeah, you got me.
We're kind of a little bit over time, but that's okay, because I love when we get into these conversations, you learn so many things that's going on. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, guys. And we'll see everybody next week. And everybody out there, keep Bigfooting.
We missed you, Bill. I'm glad to be back. We'll be back in touch with you.
Hey, glad to have you guys back, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Y'all have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Marco. Hey, Sweet.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests. and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.